to not steal.
When you steal something, people have alarms.
Stealing is something where you, like, take something from somebody. Like, if you're stealing money, you, like, if someone has something you might be able to open, you open it and you grab some money. No.
When somebody has a dinosaur toy and at night I'm like, I really, really want that, and it's right on the desk and I take it, that's what stealing means.
No? Like if your friend has a really nice pencil and that they got and from somewhere and it's on their desk and they're like, I really want that. And then they take it from it and trade it for a boring old pencil. Yeah, that's what stealing is.
Oh. Like when you like at the store, you don't do not like when it has little gum and like nobody's still looking at you, you just put it in your pocket and then you go outside and then you eat it. When your mom said, did you buy that? I said, no, I stole it. And then my mom will buy it and then put it back and give it to somebody else. No.
It's good, hey? It's so good. Well, good morning, church. Welcome to FAC. My name is Corey. I'm one of the pastors here. If you're new here, I just want to just give you an extra warm welcome. We're so grateful that you're with us. If you're joining us online, we just want to say a warm welcome to you. Hello to the online world. So grateful that from wherever you are, whether you're, you know, maybe you're at home sick here in Calgary or somewhere else in the world, we're so grateful that you can be with us. So this morning, we've had a wonderful summer working through the Ten Commandments this whole summer, and today we're going to continue that journey. Today, Exodus 20:15. I mean, if you've were paying attention, you shall not steal. You shall not steal. The Eighth Commandment. But before we dive in, let me just start with a word of prayer. God, these are your words given to us. May they transform us, change us, and ultimately draw us closer to you. By your Spirit, help us understand your word for us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I think most, if not all of us, understand what stealing is. I mean, even from an early age, as you can see, that we learn pretty quickly, you know, what belongs to us and what doesn't. And when we take something from someone else without their permission, it's wrong. It's not a nice thing to do. I mean, stealing is to take something which belongs to another person, to take something without the owner's permission. I mean, have you ever stolen anything? Who are the thieves in the room? Okay, nice. Some of you are honest. That's great. It's good to know. I mean, that was kind of a rhetorical question, but I'm glad that you're honest. So everyone in this room and online, I think we can all say yes. You know, at one point or another, we have broken this commandment. Whether intentional or not, we have taken things that belong to other people. Seriously, okay, the other week, Seth and I, we went to the park, we're hanging out, having a good time, we're the only ones there, and I find two pairs of kids' sunglasses. Score, right? Pick them up, they're nice, no kids around, so I'm like, this is a sweet find, two pairs of sunglasses. So I get home, you know, I'm excited, I'm like, you know, Christina, look, I found two pairs of sunglasses. And she's like, why did you take them? And I'm like, because there's free sunglasses. And she's like, well, what if they come back looking for them? Honestly, instant guilt. Now, whether you want to call that stealing or not, I actually don't care. But I love this simple story. I don't. But listen, the story really does get to the heart of what stealing is about. It's taking something from someone else without their permission. It's selfish, it's evil, it's sin. It's this whole idea of finders keepers. And I think that's a childish way of just saying that whatever you find, it's yours. And it works its way into adulthood. We might say finders keepers jokingly, but really, we actually mean it. Now, in regards to those sunglasses, would those parents have come back to find them? Maybe. You know, maybe not. But if we're my kid, if Seth left them behind, when I actually think about it, I probably would have gone back. I probably would have gone to look for them. So when you see what this commandment does, it helps us think about other people, which is exactly what we want to do as followers of Jesus. So that's one hand. On the other hand, you know, kids, have you ever had anything stolen from you? Maybe a brother or a sister, you know, sneak into your room and steal your pencil crayons or that dinosaur. You know, how did that make you feel? Awful, you know, disgusted, betrayed, hurt, violated. In high school, my home was a pretty open home. We were very hospitable, people coming and going. And if you're like that, you know that sometimes it comes with a price when you let strangers stay at your home. One time, there was this man living with us, and sure enough, he pawned our snowboards, our gaming systems, our DVDs, you know, back when those were a thing, all gone. You know, I felt violated, scared in my own home, you know, not feeling safe. You know, how do you explain those feelings? Stealing, it's icky, and we all know it. It's wrong. It destroys our relationships. Remember, the Ten Commandments are here to help us in our relationship with God and with each other. This commandment is about how we relate to other people. This commandment, it's a non-specific command. You know, it doesn't tell us what not to steal and why we shouldn't steal. That will come later. There's no object to this command. Plain and simple, you shall not steal at any time from anyone, anywhere, for any reason at all. You shall not steal. It's a simple yet comprehensive command. But it seems like there are plenty of ways to break this commandment that are explained throughout the Bible. So let's start with the Old Testament. Let's see some of the things that are mentioned in the Old Testament in regards to stealing. So we have kidnapping, abduction. In the following chapter after the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 21:16, we read this: kidnappers must be put to death, whether they are caught in possession of their victims or have already sold them as slaves. This commandment forbids kidnapping. It forbids stealing people. I mean, again, there's no object to the eighth commandment here. It's comprehensive, but it most definitely includes people. You know, someone caught kidnapping was punishable by death under the Mosaic law. And we know that kidnapping is a reality in our world today. People steal people. And if there's any act of stealing that truly makes me sick, it's this. You know, children being taken from their families and put into unfathomable conditions. You know, being a parent, when I hear of kidnappings, it makes my stomach drop. It makes my heart hurt to know that that happens in our world and that people can operate in such a way. Stealing kids, it's disgusting. But this really speaks to the condition of the human heart and how evil we can be. You know, the next chapter, Exodus 22, verse 1, and talks about protection of property. You know, this verse, you know, forbids the stealing of animals. It says, if someone steals an ox or sheep and then kills or sells it, the thief must pay back 5 oxen for each ox stolen and 4 sheep for each sheep stolen. I mean, you steal an ox or a sheep, you kill it or you sell it, you must pay back 5-fold for the ox and 4-fold for the sheep. I mean, most of us, 99% of us probably don't own ox or sheep. But when you think about it, these animals were their livelihood. Have you ever taken someone's money, their possessions, maybe even stolen an idea or credit at work just to get ahead? Stealing of property, it's wrong. And this is where we learn about restitution. This is repayment and compensation that is required by the thief to give back what was stolen. Having to pay back what was stolen, it really hurts the thief. Back then, as a thief, you take people's possessions, you get caught, and the result is you're giving back at least four times the amount of what was stolen. That will make you think twice before stealing from someone. And in the very next verse, we read this. If a thief is caught in the act of breaking into a house and is struck and killed in the process, the person who killed the thief is not guilty of murder. But if it happens in daylight, the one who killed the thief is guilty of murder. A thief who is caught must pay in full for everything he stole. If he cannot pay, he must be sold as a slave to pay back for his theft. If someone steals an ox or a donkey or a sheep, and it is found in the thief's possession. So that's the difference here from verse 1. Verse 1, if it's killed or it's gone. This one, if it's still here, the stolen item is found in the thief's possession. Then the thief must pay double what the stolen animal costs. So interesting that through the Mosaic law that, you know, if you can strike a burglar at night, you could kill them and you wouldn't be guilty of manslaughter. The action of stealing would cost the thief his life. But if they're caught in the daylight, there's restitution, repayment is required, and it's going to hurt the thief's pocket. Again, their livelihood. So if you weren't killed in the night, you're paying back double, or you're going into slavery until you could pay it all back. Either way, a consequence for the actions. Notice that the Old Testament here demands restitution or slavery as the penalty. You know, if you had money, you could pay back over and above beyond what you'd stolen. If you couldn't pay it back, again, slavery was going to be your life until the debt has been paid. In Leviticus 6, verses 2 through 7, if you steal from a fellow Israelite, or even if you fail to return an item that you found that didn't belong to you, or if you participated in fraud of some sort, it even mentions finding lost property and lying about it. That's why I'm coming clean. You must make restitution by paying full price plus an additional 20% to the person you have harmed and a guilt offering. Notice again that stealing becomes an expensive business. Maybe I'll think twice about it. My wife Tina suggested that maybe I should go, you know, buy a few more pairs of sunglasses and donate them to charity to compensate for my actions. In my mind, I know it, we're like, really, should you? But it almost seems fair when you put it back into practice of what I've just read. But in short, the Old Testament forbids all manner of stealing under this command. You know, burglary, kidnapping, robbery, stealing, theft. The Old Testament is saying that we need to respect the people around us. And if we do steal, there's some major consequences for our actions. So what can we learn from the Old Testament here? Stealing is wrong. Yeah, stealing is wrong. Seems obvious. It's sin, it destroys relationships, and there's consequences. Repayment is required. So in this series, we've been going beyond the Ten Commandments. We're not going to park out in the Old Testament. So let's move to the New Testament. Let's move beyond the Ten Commandments and see what the New Testament has to say. In Luke 3:14, John the Baptist in his preaching also required obedience to this command. A group of soldiers went up to John the Baptist and asked, you know, what should we do? You know, we want to get ready for the Messiah who's coming. What do we do now? John the Baptist says, don't extort money or make false accusations, and be content with your pay. Stop stealing money from people. You really want to show that you've repented and that you are choosing to follow God? Stop stealing and be content with what you have. In Ephesians 4:28, Paul, in contrasting the way that we were with the way that we are now as followers of Jesus, he says, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good work, and then Give generously. But you don't hold on to that. Give generously to others in need. As followers of Jesus, when we embrace Jesus, we embrace a new way of living. Empowered and filled by the Holy Spirit, we no longer steal. We put our hands to good work and we give generously. Again, Paul brings attention to the evil in our hearts. In 1 Corinthians 6:10, he says, thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or abusive, or cheap people. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So Paul, he's looking at the Corinthian congregation. So it's like me saying, FAC, you were once thieves. You were once swindlers, greedy people, liars. Not anymore. You were made right. You were made holy before our God. You were once a sinner. Now you are cleansed, white, pure. It's really beautiful that even as thieves, as sinners, that we are made right before a holy God. So we've seen throughout a few instances in the Bible here that this command is absolutely, positively, 100% relevant for us today. So what does stealing look like today? Well, people steal from us. Stealing happens. There's scams. You know, yuck. There's door-to-door scams, online scams, identity theft scams, and those stupid Canada Revenue Agency scams. You know, right after you filed your taxes, and then they jump on you, your heart's beating, you're like, what? What did I do? Did I get it wrong? Oh, scams. You know, it's hard to feel safe. Fraud is a crime that threatens every Canadian, regardless of education, age, or income. From January 2014 to December 2017, Canadians lost more than $405 million to fraudsters. And unfortunately, scammers, they continue to target seniors too. Canadians aged 60 to 79, who are you? Raise your hand. Just kidding, don't have to. Okay, sorry. Thank you for those of you who did. You know, 60 to 79 lost an estimated $94 million. It's a lot of money to various scams. Please, please be careful. There are so many scams. So I want to share a few of the most common ones. There's the prize scam. So a website claiming that you are the winner of a large lottery sweepstakes. It's not real. There's the emergency scams. Someone claiming to be a family member or a close friend, describing an urgent situation that requires funds. Not real. There's romance scams. Scammers steal photos and use dating sites or apps and social media to lure potential victims into sending money for various reasons. Not real. If you are sending someone money online and you don't know who they are, stop. And it's okay to ask for help. Tell someone you love and get some advice. You don't need to be embarrassed about it. It happens. And we need to protect each other from scammers. And there are many more ways that people can steal from us. Okay, in what ways do we steal? In what ways do we steal from others? Hopefully no one in this room or online is an online scammer. If you are, you need to come to Jesus and come talk to me. But what ways do we steal? I think about employers. Are you an employer? Do you exploit your employees, not paying them what they deserve? You know, as an employer, do not cheat or rob anyone. Always pay your hired workers promptly. As followers of Jesus, taking advantage of people is wrong. We should absolutely treat people right and fair. On the other hand, employers, we have employees. You know, some people have the attitude that they can go to work, you know, how little can I do and how much can I get paid? I feel like the most common theft at work is the theft of time. come to work late, leave early, take long coffee breaks. I mean, you get the picture. And as followers of Jesus, we should be the best workers to hire, the best people to work with, people who are honest, people who are full of integrity, and people that do the right thing. Everything we do for the Lord, and our attitude should reflect that. We shouldn't steal from our workplaces. Bosses, don't manipulate your employees. And employees, don't take advantage of your bosses. Stop stealing. What about paying taxes? If you owe taxes, pay taxes. Stop stealing. I mean, what about tithing? Are we stealing from God by not giving? As followers of Jesus, we are called to be extravagant givers based on our faith in God as the ultimate provider. He truly has given us all that we need. Stop stealing. What about things that you've borrowed or haven't returned? Have you borrowed books, tools, games, videos, toys, money, you know, without ever having the intention of paying it back? The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. Generous givers. I mean, you get it. Stop stealing. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Stealing is, I mean, it's difficult because there are a million and one ways that we can steal or take something. So let me ask a few questions, only for you to think about. And I trust that the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, that he is challenging you, convicting you. The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. He knows our motives. So let's listen. Let the Holy Spirit speak. Let me just ask a few questions just to get it all out there. Have you ever filed an insurance claim for more that was necessary or claimed for something you didn't lose? Have you ever called in sick when you weren't? Have you ever taken office supplies from work? Have you ever used your expense account for personal use? Have you ever been dishonest on your income tax? Have you neglected to pay off a debt that you owe? Have you borrowed things and not returned them? Have you stolen from family members or friends? Have you stolen from God? I mean, some of you know what you're doing is wrong. I mean, we feel the guilt. It fills our body. We know that we need to change. And the only way to move forward is to get clean before Jesus, listen to the Holy Spirit, and do something about it to make it right. And I'm not here to point a finger and say guilty. I believe the Holy Spirit does that. I mean, he does that for me. He challenges, he convicts me. And sure, we might need to make some changes. Make a phone call, you know, send an e-transfer, you know, bring something back. You know what you need to do. You've made mistakes. There's sin in your life. But friends, Jesus is here to say you can change. He loves you, and there is grace. You can be pure. You can do it. You can experience freedom in your life. God will forgive our sin. And if we're listening closely, we know that we need to make restitution to make things right. The act of restitution, giving back something that has been stolen, that needs to happen. Paying back what you've stolen, it shows a repentant heart. If you haven't paid it back, I personally question your motives. That's me, you know, questioning your heart. But to encounter Jesus means that we encounter change. We encounter true forgiveness. To encounter Jesus, that means that we can live in his grace and his peace. And to know that we can make things right, we can experience the transformational power of Jesus in our life, in our relationships with our family. Not many of us have robbed a bank, but are we all guilty of breaking this commandment? I mean, I would say yes, many times. You know, if we know that we've done something wrong, we need to make things right. That is the way we experience true freedom from sin and shame that so easily entangles us. I mean, even if you're not a thief, maybe you've had something stolen from you, and you know that you've been violated because of theft or scams. I understand. I've been there. But friends, we still need to give grace and give forgiveness to those people in our lives. To love our enemies, to do good to those who persecute us. Jesus calls us all, and the Holy Spirit is telling us what we need to do this morning. I mean, all the thieves, do you need to return something? Do you need to give something back? Make restitution, make it right. For all of us who have been stolen from, do we need to give forgiveness to the people who have hurt us or harmed us? And as followers of Jesus, we truly trust God's provision in our lives for all things. We don't need to steal. We don't need to take what doesn't belong to us. We don't need to steal people, property, money, any of those things. The solution is the forgiveness and grace of God through Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting. When Jesus was up on the cross, there were two thieves beside him. You know, one on each side. One mocked Jesus with the soldiers. But the other one cried out to Jesus. He says, you know, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And to that, Jesus said, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. We are spiritually guilty, bankrupt in every way. But Jesus loves us, and he gave up his life for us. I mean, talk about true provision. Jesus giving up his life so that we may have eternal life. I mean, what more do we really want? So what do we do? You know, it's clear that we've all stolen. We all need Jesus. Like thieves, we all have a choice. We can either accept or reject. Accept or reject. The choice is up to us. So if you've been listening, maybe you've caught one word. One word that I want to move into, and that's the word of generosity. Christianity teaches us to give freely with no expectation of getting anything in return. Once we clear our conscience before God and we make things right, restitution, then we give freely. We become givers, not takers. Givers, not takers. We be givers. Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When we obey this command, you know, it means that we look out for the interest of others. We give freely with cheerful, excited hearts that we get to love God and love the people around us. The one who sows generously will reap generously. You must each decide in your hearts how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or under pressure, because God loves the person who gives cheerfully. We may give as God directs, knowing that he supplies all our needs, all our needs. One purpose of the money with which God supplies us is to give to the needs of others. Why give? I mean, why be generous? We have received an amazing gift from God, and we should desire to give back from all that he's done for us. Jesus teaches us that we should be willing to sacrifice our own interests for the interests of our neighbor, as difficult and challenging that may be. Remember, do not steal is all about loving one another. Generosity is the way that we get to love one another. We look out for the interests of others. We put away our own selfish desires, and we learn to live selflessly. That's what I want. That is absolutely the way that I want to live. When we understand all that God has done for us, we can learn to live generously. That's a community that I want to be a part of. As followers of Jesus, as people who are part of this community at FAC, let's be a generous people in all that we say and do. And let's look out for each other. So we've been praying through the Ten Commandments, and I want to finish off this morning with us praying together. So the prayer is going to be on the screen, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, help me not to be greedy, but to share joyfully with others. God, that's it. God, would you help us to live generously in all that we say and do. And I pray that for those of us here that need to take those next steps, would you help us make things right before others and before you? Holy Spirit, would you lead us? Would you guide us into truth? Show us what to do. Father, I ask that relationships would find healing and restoration. People would make things right. That we would be a generous people, sharing joyfully with others, using all that we have to bring you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.